May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, have you ever walked a labyrinth? Like the one we started our procession on this morning. If you haven't, you could go check it out after church today. A labyrinth is a winding path, usually traced out in stones, that leads you on a slow, circuitous route to the center, and then leads you back out again. You know, no matter how many times I've walked a labyrinth, I always find it surprising. Usually I have some sort of question in my mind, something I'm noodling on, and I carry that question and pray on it as I walk towards the center of the labyrinth. And it seems to me every single time that no matter how thorny or frustrating that question is, by the time I get to the center, some sort of clarity or resolution or answer has come to me. And then I walk back out again, feeling lighter of heart. Experiencing Holy Week, this special week of the church year, seems to me in many ways like walking a labyrinth. You know, around the tail end of Lent, I often find myself realizing that my Lenten practice, whatever self-improvement plan I drew up this year, didn't really work. I'm still me. I haven't turned into St. Teresa again this year. So I often come into Holy Week thinking, I am not ready for Easter. I don't feel prepared to celebrate yet. But somehow, walking through that labyrinth of Holy Week, today's special worship and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and the Easter Vigil, brings me to a center that I didn't expect to find, an answer to a question I didn't realize I was asking. And then on Easter morning, I really am more than ready to celebrate God's grace and God's love. How does that happen? I'm not really sure. And is the center of the labyrinth on Good Friday, when we kneel at the cross and are grounded in reality, as Lindsay so eloquently said last Sunday? Or maybe at the Easter Vigil on Saturday night, when we experience the new fire and water of rebirth? I don't know. Maybe each of us finds it in our own place. But there's something mysterious and holy and transforming about walking that walk to the center and back out again. The center of God, the center of ourselves, the center of life and death and life again. Christians have been walking this Holy Week walk for thousands of years, and when we raise our palms as we did today or wash each other's feet, as we'll do on Thursday, we're following in the footsteps of countless witnesses and fellow travelers, all of whom who were following in the footsteps of Jesus. It's the final acts of his life that guide us through the events of this week. So I want to explain, as we've been announcing the last few weeks, why we're doing things a little differently today on Palm Sunday than we have done in the past few years. If you've been coming to church for the past few decades, you're used to having today be both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. For our service to begin with following Jesus' footsteps, walking into Jerusalem with the palms, and then taking sort of a sharp left turn into the Passion story, the story of his crucifixion and death. That's the way we've done it since about 1979, which is as far back as I can remember. But today, we're returning to an older tradition in the Episcopal Church, the way the early Christians did it, which is just to focus on the palms today, just to celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, and to save the story of the crucifixion for Good Friday. In other words, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in this labyrinth walk of Holy Week, and to take each event in the chronological order of Jesus' life. Now, if you're thinking that makes sense, you might be wondering, well, why did the writers of the 1979 prayer book ever decide to put the Passion into Palm Sunday? Well, the reason was, frankly, that they thought you would not bother to go to church on Good Friday. And they were concerned, rightly concerned, that a person who went to church on Palm Sunday and heard about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then the next Sunday heard all about the resurrection, would not realize that Jesus died in the middle, and might not really understand the whole story of Jesus' walk, Jesus' journey that we are walking with him this week, that you might not ever have an opportunity to get to the center of the labyrinth. So they said, since we know people are going to skip church on Good Friday, let's add the Passion Gospel to Palm Sunday service so people don't miss those key parts of the story. It makes sense, but it also makes Palm Sunday into kind of a mashup. Are we celebrating the palms, or are we mourning the crucifixion? And believe me, your worship committee has put quite a lot of thought and effort and discussion and research into thinking this through and making this change for many months now. And I'd like to thank them for all of their hard work to make our worship meaningful to our community week in and week out. The mashup Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday has never really gelled for quite a lot of people. So many churches are doing what we're doing this year, and making Palm Sunday just straight Palm Sunday again. Because we believe you really will come to church on Good Friday, and to the other Holy Week services as well. And your worship committee hopes our efforts make your Holy Week meaningful, and we welcome your feedback. So today, we do get to celebrate in our scripture, in our music, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, which kicked off the events that we commemorate in Holy Week, in more ways than one. It's hard to underestimate how important the city of Jerusalem was and is in Judaism. Matthew's gospel today is full of allusions and references to Hebrew scripture, because in so many places the prophets said that a Messiah would come who would enter into the city gates of Jerusalem in triumph as a ruler, and that when that happened, it would be a sign that God would restore the people. There would be no more war or grief, and God's perfect peace and justice would be established. That's what the people were expecting. And so Jesus did that in requisitioning that colt that the prophet Zechariah said the Messiah would ride on. Jesus is saying, I am he. I am the one that you have been waiting for. God is here, and God's promises will be fulfilled. Some people were enormously happy about that, and some weren't so happy. The people who cheered him on that day, those who were waving palm branches and putting their coats on the ground so even his horse's hooves would not touch the dirt, they were not the in crowd. They were not the local officials or religious leaders. They were the people who were most desperate. The peasants, the farm workers, children and old folks, the sick and the needy. They were the ones who saw in Jesus someone who would be their champion, who would, as his mother Mary said, lift up the lowly and bring down the mighty. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, they said, the one who comes to make God's will be done. And those who were officials and leaders, they weren't so pleased to see that the riffraff had a spokesperson and a leader. And they started making plans to make sure this demonstration didn't get out of hand. So when we wave our palms, as we did today, we are really taking a side and acting out the role of those who put their hopes in Jesus. We are remembering those who are most in need, those who don't have a say, and often are forgotten. We're welcoming into our midst the one who lifted up the lowly and brings down the mighty. Those who welcomed Jesus that day didn't know what was to come. They didn't know just how far Jesus would have to go to make the point that God does not reward those who grasp for power or advantage, but is willing, is always willing, to be at the side of those who are most desperate and most hopeless. They, just for that moment, for that beautiful spring morning, were so glad that someone cared, that someone gave a darn. Maybe even they, seeing all the others joining in what was partially a welcome ceremony, but also partially a political demonstration, thought maybe there could be a movement. Maybe there could be a community of people who care and give a darn. What might happen, they wondered, if we could all get together around this guy, around what he's saying and doing? Maybe then there could be some real change. In that moment, on that day, they had hope. Maybe hope is what is waiting for us at the center of the labyrinth. Hope that the status quo, whatever it is that is blocking us from the life we want to live and the life we want for others, can be broken open. Hope that the change that we need for ourselves, for our world, can happen. Whatever it is we will find there, whatever grace of God is waiting there for you, we are invited to pick up our palms and join in the procession and to be part of this Holy Week journey with Jesus. Amen.